Yes, you're listening to Open Mic Friday, Law and Gospel, on this date, December the 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Tom Baker, and I'm here to answer, hopefully, any questions you might have of a theological nature. Don't hesitate to do so by calling in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. And then toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. We were talking about a number of subjects this week, including the readings for this coming Sunday, the hymn assigned for this Sunday, and then we had an Insight Wednesday where we were talking about an item, as well as Thursday, where Wes Reimnitz brought up again one of C.F.W. Walther's principles or statements about how pastors confuse law and gospel. Well, we're going to take a look at that again. It's thesis number 8 we'll look at until we get a phone call. The Word of God is not rightly divided when the law is preached to those who are already in terror on account of their sins, or the gospel to those who live securely in their sins. Let's take the latter one first. Preaching the gospel to those who live securely in their sins. That's kind of using a human analogy. Say somebody really loves eating cheeseburgers, French fries, milkshakes every day. And they're underweight. They feel real healthy. They run a lot. And then you tell them, boy, it really would be good for you if you stayed away from fatty food. And so don't eat those items that you're eating every day. Is that person going to listen to you? No, that person will not listen to you. Because they're in good health, then they love the food. However, if there is a problem with their health, then you might want to suggest to stay with healthy food. Especially if they're really having problems getting up in the morning, getting around, they feel their stomach is always ill, then they're going to be open to hearing what you have to say. It's much like going to the doctor. I know a number of people go just for a regular checkup. But the vast majority of times you go see the doctor is because there's something wrong. You don't feel very well. And so when you go see the doctor, you already are under the idea that you're not secure in your health. And so anything he can do to help you, you're going to jump at. You're going to appreciate it very much. That's what law and gospel is about. The gospel is a help only to those who think they need help. Well, what kind of help do you need? Well, how would you like to get to heaven? And for a lot of people, they don't need to hear about their sins because they don't think they're that bad. Hey, I'm not that bad a sinner. And so they don't need to hear the gospel because the gospel is the forgiveness of sins. And if you don't think you have any sins, why do you need to hear the gospel? Let's go to the phone lines right now and let's talk to somebody who doesn't think he has any sins. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, my question is, I know
Mike, I just said, let's talk to somebody who doesn't think they have any sins.
Yeah, you're right. That's me. Yeah, you got it right.
You don't think you're a sinner?
No. No, I'm completely righteous based on what Christ did at Calvary.
Oh, you listen to my program too much, Mike. That's not fair.
No, but I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, I know you explained this once, but I didn't really understand it. What is a word divider?
I'm not even sure what that means.
Don't you remember, like, that part in the Bible where it says to rightly divide the word?
Oh, yes. Yes, that means to rightly distinguish if the word from the Bible is law or is it gospel, because you would have a different use depending on what it is. For example, just yesterday, Mike, it was very interesting. I was on another radio program outside of St. Louis, a different station, and we talked for 1 hour on law and gospel. And I quoted Deuteronomy, where it says, you better obey the commandments of the Lord, or you won't enter into the promised land. And then I talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I made the point that Deuteronomy is law, and it shows the Israelites how far away they were from meriting heaven. They were unable to do this. And then I showed how the gospel takes care of what we're unable to do. So that's rightly dividing the word.
Okay, and that's in it. I think it's in Timothy, and that's what they're referring to?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for explaining it.
Well, thank you for calling, Mike. And I just love Mike's phone calls, because this is a man that I can't fool. When I asked him if he's a sinner, and he says, no, he's not. He's righteous because of Christ. See, that's a great example of someone who has got the thoughts of God rather than his own thoughts. What do I mean by that? I love starting sermons with a question that most Lutherans get wrong. One of my favorite ones is, put your hand up if you believe that you're righteous enough to go to heaven. And guess what? Nobody in the congregation hardly ever puts their hand up. Unless Mike is sitting there, he put his hand up because he knows his righteousness is from Christ. And that's what I mean, that a sermon is to clarify how God thinks rather than how the human being in the old Adam tends to think. You got a question like Mike had? Don't hesitate to call me, St. Louis, 821-0850, or anywhere in North America. And by the way, that includes St. Louis. 1-800-730-2727. All right. Here's another example where pastors really mess up law and gospel. It's thesis number 16. The word of God is not rightly divided when the preacher tries to make people believe that they are truly converted as soon as what? As soon as they have become rid of certain vices and engaged in certain works of piety and virtuous practices. Boy, is that ever familiar. In fact, every now and then you have what's called testimony in some churches. And you know what that is? Well, I used to be this kind of a sinner, but since I've come to Jesus Christ, boy, things are different. I'm a lot better. Well, that's just not true. Let's go back to the phone lines right now, and let's talk with Marilyn. Marilyn, you're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. I have a couple of comments. One, you said that it was when Jesus was baptized that our sins were forgiven. I had never, ever heard that before. I'd always tell people to look at the cross. And I've heard other, well.
Well, I'm not sure I said it quite that way. Here's what I said, Marilyn, is that when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptizer, that's when he became sin for us. And therefore, as a human being, taking upon our sin, he was able to die on the cross and pay for it because he really never sinned, but he was declared to be a sinner by God. Remember, John the Baptizer says to Jesus, hey, I do not need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. But then Jesus says, no, John, it is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And that meant that the Holy Trinity had a plan for you, Marilyn, from before the foundation of the world, that the second person of the Trinity would come, become sin for us, become incarnate, and then die on the cross for our sin. And so that's what I was saying, that at the baptism of John the Baptizer, Jesus took on your sin.
Well, my apology. I didn't really fully understand.
Well, I might not have said it as clear.
I have a question that, one, my grandson's in school of journalism in Columbia, and he got anxiety, rashes, everything else. His one instructor, very much a liberal, was always grading his papers low. And it was because he was doing his assignment on the conservative side. And then she told him this past Monday, you write all those papers over, and then we'll see if your grade can come up. And the anxiety was just terrible. I told him, I said, look up to Jesus. I said, everything positive that you said there, make it a negative. I said, sometimes we have to do that with our professors. And I mean, he isn't one to lie. And I thought, this is horrible. Your thoughts on that?
Do you have your radio on?
It's in the kitchen. I'm in the front room and you can hear it.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, I'll answer this then. That actually happened to me at Concordia Seminary. Yes, I had a professor, and remember, many of them left because they couldn't agree with the Bible. But what happened was that I was in disagreement with this professor. I even did an extra paper, and I got a C for the course. And that's really unusual. Usually it was A's or maybe a B. And when I went to talk to him, he said, it's because you didn't understand what I was saying. And I said, I knew and I understood what you were saying. I just disagree with it. And he did penalize me with a C. But I tell you, that's part of the promise that we're going to be persecuted when we stand up for the truth, and we are going to be blessed when that happens. And that means God is still going to keep our promise to us, and we'll look back on this very event that's happening to your grandson maybe 2 or 3 years from now, and God willing, it won't have any effect on his future. It's just going to be a time when he recognizes the beatitude is correct, that when you stand up for the truth, the work of the devil is going to really come against you.
Oh, thank you. You know, I really, my heart was so heavy for him. I just didn't know where to go except to our Lord.
Well, I'll tell you why your heart need not be heavy. God would never have permitted this if your grandson did not have sufficient faith to get through it. So God only chooses those with strong faith, because he promises never will a temptation come to you beyond your ability to endure. So you should actually be proud of your grandson, that God knew he would be put in this position and have people like you and others who will comfort him with the promises of God.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. God bless you during this Advent season and forever.
And Marilyn, I also want to thank you for the generous gift that you sent. I really appreciate it. It's going in the bank today.
Well, you know, it's all for Jesus.
It really is. It's all for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you so much. And you.
Okay. And anybody else can call at 821-0850. That's St. Louis. Or North America, 1-800-730-2727. Yeah, Marilyn was the one who had called some time ago. Make your check out to Concordia Mission Society. And then listen at the end of the program. Don't make it out to Law and Gospel, because if you make it out to Concordia Mission Society, you'll get IRS deductible. But then mail it to the address that we have at the end of the program. Just put Tom Baker and the post office box, etc. Concordia Mission Society. By the way, we're the ones that also put out the Good News magazine. And we really thank those who are also sending money to Concordia Mission Society for the Good News magazine. Remember, 1.5 million copies of the Good News magazine were in a fire, a big warehouse fire in South St. Louis. And so we're struggling to not only help them out, but to restore the magazine. Some of them were brand new, yet to be sent out. So keep us in your prayers. And as I said, call me at 821-0850. That's the St. Louis area. Or toll free 1-800-730-2727. And we'll just go and talk to, is this Erna?
Hello? Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
I have a question for you. My son goes to a Catholic school, although we're Lutheran. And he came home and said that he was told that Mary was born sinless. And I told him, no, that's not what we believe. But I couldn't give him an explanation. So I was hoping you could tell me what I could explain to him.
Yes. Do you remember the Roman Catholic concept? It's called the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary. Have you ever heard that? Okay.
Yeah.
I used to think that was referring to Jesus, but it's not. It's referring to Mary being born sinless. And I did a paper on that when I was about 18 years old. There were some Roman Catholics who believed there was a sinless line of people leading all the way to Mary. And, of course, that's not true, and that's not the position of the Roman Catholic Church. But they believe that when Mary was conceived of two sinful parents, that God gave her the gift of being sinless. And, you know, stop and think about that. That makes Mary's conception and birth more miraculous than Jesus. Because if Mary was sinless and the Holy Spirit was sinless, well, that obviously shows Jesus would be sinless when he would be born. And so, therefore, it was a bigger miracle. There is not a passage in the Scripture anywhere, even in the Apocrypha, that talks about Mary being sinless. But they wanted to do that in order that it could result in a sinless birth of Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at Mary's song after the birth, she talks about Jesus as her Savior. Well, why would she need a Savior if she was sinless? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden would never have spoken about God as saving them from sin because they were sinless. It wasn't until they sinned that they needed a Savior. So the Bible is pretty clear. Mary considers Jesus her Savior. And also, look at the sins that Mary did. She was complaining about her son at one time, who was talking about being the Messiah. And people said, you know, your mother, your brothers, your sisters are out there telling you to come out. And he said, no, truly are my mother, brothers, and sisters who believe the word I preach. And so Mary was as sinful as you and me. And in fact, if she wasn't, then the birth of Christ, we shouldn't be celebrating as much as the birth of Mary.
Okay, thank you. Because all I could tell him was, well, there's no place in the Bible that I find that she's sinless, but I couldn't come up with a full explanation, so that helps very much. Thank you.
Well, take a look at Luke, where she calls Jesus her Savior.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you
God
very much.
You. Thank you.
All righty. Yeah, anybody else can call at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. You know, there's got to be a lot of people who, during the Christmas season, end up with questions. And that's why we have Open Mic Friday. But we also will give you the opportunity to email us. And one of the places to email, at least for KFUO, for me, is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. In fact, as I'm saying this, I just remembered that I forgot a couple of emails at home that I was going to respond to. We did one yesterday with Wes talking about what does a pastor do when a couple who is living together before marriage wants to get married. And so we explained that. By the way, if you ever want to hear any of the programs for some time, you go to KFUO.org, and then you go to the archives, and then Law and Gospel. And then you can click on it, and you'll hear various items. For those of you who are new, and I know we have some new people on right now, because I had spoken to them about the program. Mondays, we take a look at the readings assigned for the following Sunday. Tuesday, we normally take a look at the hymn. We always have a single hymn assigned for a Sunday. Like next week will be the third Sunday in Advent, and we'll be taking a look at the hymn there. Then on Wednesday, we have what's called Insight Wednesday. What does that mean? It's insights that I feel are not obvious just by looking at the English text. I'm a really good teacher because I'm a super plagiarist. I borrow everything. And if I say something good, it doesn't come from my study. It comes from my readings of people who are studying. Oh, if I do have a gift, it's the ability to take something at a lofty level of theology and bring it down to a level that a layperson can understand. It's kind of like going to your doctor and, you know, he gives you some medicine. You can't even pronounce it. And a good doctor will explain to you where the medicine comes from, what it's to do, what are the side effects. He'll give you clarity at your level. Well, pastors should be at a much higher level of understanding of the scripture, particularly if they went to a proper seminary like Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, or Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Because there they're going to hear proper understanding. And if you can't attend the seminary, boy, there are some commentaries now put out by Concordia Publishing House, by seminary professors and others, that really go into depth, but they do so on the basis where a layperson can understand them. And see, that's the goal that I see in every sermon. Number one, I want to tell you something you never heard of before. And number two, I want to comfort you. So telling you what you never heard of before, that's where you use exegetes. Those are people who look at each text in the original language. And then the comfort comes from a law and gospel point of view. Every text you can read with law showing you why you fail to get to heaven by your works. And then the gospel tells you how God got you to heaven. So I pray that you'll be attending a wonderful service this coming Sunday, second Sunday in Advent. And there are many churches that have Advent worship services on Wednesday night. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.